Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Did you hear about that new strand that has entered Houston?
The one is it's been all over the world, if it's the one I'm thinking about.
I'm talking about the culture strand.
Oh, the culture strand.
There is a sickness at NRG, and I thought this was interesting because I looked on the Texans injury report yesterday, and the Texans did not practice yesterday because there's an illness.
Now, stick to sports, Landry.
No, I'm trying. No COVID test, positive. No positive COVID test, and no practice yesterday. So I looked at the injury report that they sent me. Shout out to the Texans PR staff.
I saw that.
Stay on top of things. And I'm trying to see who has the name, who has
illness
by their description of their injury. Because normally it's like out, thigh, out, leg,
non-football
out,
football reasons.
Exactly. There are four guys who have illness by them, which I don't, is that enough to cancel practice? I mean, maybe it's like a cautionary thing, but you
I was wondering,
you can't practice without four guys.
I was wondering that myself, but I'm wondering if like some guys practice and, well, no, if they weren't feeling well, they wouldn't practice. Yeah, maybe that's all it is.
So I looked at the names and tell me.
What do they have in common?
What just tell me what crosses your mind when I say who all had illness by them. Cole Toner, who knows?
Yeah.
So I'll throw him aside. But the other three that had illness by their name and the practice report, the injury report. Conley.
Chris Conley.
Brandon Cooks. And David Johnson.
Let me think about this. What do they have in common? They seem to be.
These are three of the culture guys, right?
I was just going to say, they seem to be. Shall we say culture fits? Culture fits?
So where did this sickness occur?
Well, I mean, what's patient zero? You know, where is patient zero here for the illness that has grabbed a hold of these guys?
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, David Johnson, three of the faces of this culture that
maybe our
to build,
listeners can help us
are the guys with the illness. Very interesting. We'll find out if the Texans are on the practice field today, but I think that culture strand is interesting. I dove into the tape yesterday.
The All 11?
No, the film that actually matters. Okay. Hard Knocks.
Okay.
I watched Hard Knocks yesterday with the Indianapolis Colts. I just took a few notes. From what went on.
Did our guy Gerard make it?
On Hard Knocks. I didn't see him. Yeah. I wasn't looking hard in the background. I did not see Gerard Johnson, but I saw a lot of stuff. First of all, I think this in-season Hard Knocks is really good. I think the Colts Hard Knocks is really good. And I actually learned a lot yesterday in watching. First of all, the Tom Brady effect with these guys, like even some of these guys who are some of the best at their position, whether it's Kenny Moore, whether it's Darius Leonard, the Tom Brady effect is incredible. Darius Leonard at one point, he's forced five fumbles. I think David Johnson's going to have to look out for that. He's mastered like the punch of the football. Darius Leonard at one point forced a fumble. He started running to celebrate, like to where he could get behind the quarterback and get the crowd pumped up. And as he's celebrating, he stops mid-celebration and he looks to Tom Brady and he goes, "Hey, what's up, man?" And then he goes back to his celebration, and you hear him in the huddle. He goes, "Normally when I do that, I talk bleep to the quarterback, but I respect him too much, so I didn't want to say anything
Hello,
to
sir.
Him." Then you had Kenny Moore, who, by the way, this guy is a class act. I think this is a guy that the Texans would like to like to have. He befriended a kid with stage 4 cancer a couple of years ago. The kid passed away. So Kenny Moore is like spending Thanksgiving with the kid's family. And there's also the episode ends with his family and
he's still close with him.
That kid's family, yeah. Like having a post-game dinner after they lost to the Tampa Bay Bucks. But Kenny Moore, while he's on the field during a TV timeout, this is the dialogue between him and Tom Brady. Tom Brady comes up to him and goes, "What's up, baby?" Kenny Moore goes, "What's up?" And Tom goes, "You're doing great. You're doing great." And then Kenny Moore goes, "Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Yes, sir."
That's crazy.
And then after the game, Tom Brady's telling him, "You're doing a good career. You know what to. You're having a good career. You know what to do." But the Tom Brady effect is just always fun to watch. Something else. Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz cares a lot about drip and swag.
Mm-hmm.
You would not think that, but the majority of the dialogue on Hard Knocks was Carson Wentz. They were having throwback day last Sunday. Carson Wentz talking about, "Can I wear the black cleats with black spats?" Because it was like Johnny Unitas Day.
Yeah.
He's saying, "Is that swag or not?" He's talking about, you know, the helmets and all that. And I looked at Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz actually is like an under the radar, as the kids say now, low key guy that looks like a baller in his uniform. Mm-hmm. It's not Deshaun, but Carson Wentz is very, very swag aware. It took Hard Knocks for me to realize that.
I think you were somewhat biased there for some reason that we all know. But he did. And by the way, black socks are back in vogue, right?
What do you mean black? What is this bias thing? I'm trying to figure this out.
I think you were looking for a certain type of player to have the swag.
No, I just wasn't looking for Carson Wentz. That's if we're being honest, I wasn't expecting Carson Wentz to have swag. Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I picked up on that, from Hard Knocks with the Colts, you know how we played, you know, the detailed explanation of run versus pass that Frank Reich had yesterday. That wasn't just for the media and the fans. Quentin Nelson asked him about or encouraged him to, you know, over the course of that show, like, "Hey, man, we
run the effing ball."
Yeah, run the effing ball.
Yeah.
So he was talking to his own
players.
They
had hats that said that.
Yeah, they did. But even his own players were a little bit like, "Man, this is a bit much on the passing here."
Other takeaways from Hard Knocks, because I'm watching the tape that actually matters. By the way, Seth Payne, that dude does not take any weeks off. You're getting in-depth film study, legit film study, not coasting or anything every time. And that's something that I appreciate, because I learned a lot about the Colts today. So props to him. T.Y. Hilton is still the most beloved guy on this team. When T.Y. Hilton made a play against Tampa Bay, you could just see the joy on the sidelines. Everybody was going, "T.Y., T.Y. And then Frank Reich goes over to T.Y. Hilton and says, "You're our guy. You're our leader. You're our moneymaker." So as much as you see these new faces, you see the Pittmans, you see Jonathan Taylor in MVP discussions, you see Carson Wentz, you see Darius Leonard, one of the best in the game, T.Y. Hilton is the face of, for lack of a better term, the Indianapolis Colts culture.
Yeah.
And you can tell whenever he does something well, it means a lot to them.
Well, he's respected, and he's kind of a carryover. He's transitioned from the last regime through this one, and I think that's where he gets that respect. You know, 100%, you're absolutely right.
And there was Frank Reich. He's 60, by the way.
Yeah.
Frank Reich turned 60. He officially turned 60.
Surprise birthday party?
On Saturday. He had the surprise birthday party. And his even his granddaughter was sitting there. She was adorable, too. She was talking about how she liked the Colts. And they asked who her favorite player was. She goes, "T.Y. T.Y. T.Y. is my favorite player." So the impact of T.Y. Hilton, we know he's a legendary Texans killer. He's still the straw that stirs the drink. Going through the Hard Knocks takeaways yesterday on HBO. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Jim Mudd in for Figgy Fig. The dinner with the family at the end, Kenny Moore talking about the Tom Brady thing. Mm-hmm. They were just asking him questions. Does Tom Brady talk during the game? Does Tom Brady talk during the game? Does Tom Brady talk during the game? I think his mom might have made a mistake, though.
What's that?
She said that he was scared to throw on Kenny Moore's side because he knew better. And you could tell Kenny Moore, he's just drinking drinks his cup of water and just shuts up. I don't think mom needs to put that out there.
She was proud of her kid.
Yeah, but come on.
I mean, yeah. He's good. He's really good.
He's a good dude, too.
Yeah.
Very, very good dude. It was good to see him. The other takeaway, we're going to get into at 10:40 the nightmare of the second round of the 2020 NFL draft and just how stacked that second round was. It's one of the deeper rounds that I can remember that wasn't a first round. And it seems like everybody who picked somebody, they just made a play.
Yeah.
Indianapolis, they dominated that round. They got Michael Pittman early on. They took Jonathan Taylor when the Texans passed on him, and they also got Julian Blackmon, who's actually out for the season, but he was playing at as high of a level as most safeties in the NFL. The second round haunts me, and it even came to fruition on the other side of things because Antoine Winfield, another guy who the Texans passed on in that round, got an interception against the Colts. Antoine Winfield is another guy to add to the list of guys that making impacts immediately while Ross Blacklock puts on some of the most epic boneheaded displays we've seen in a long time.
The other thing that struck me about kind of that little glimpse into the Colts in this midseason Hard Knocks, and I will say this, I said before, well, 2 years now, probably close to 3 years, I'm kind of out on Hard Knocks on the preseason stuff because it's so contrived and a lot of the storylines just seem to be, well, made up for lack of a better way to put it. But the in-season one is pretty good. I got to tell you, it's pretty darn good. But the other thing that struck me watching this with the Colts, I don't know why. I'm just brain locked. I was like, oh, yeah, Matt Eberflus. Oh, yeah, that guy is going to be a head coach. He's really, really good.
So
man.
Is their special teams coach. He's their special really, teams coach should be a head coach as well.
You talk about the draft picks. I mean, he's going to – what he's doing with those guys and developing them, it just kind of like – let's be honest, this thing could get ugly.
I think they got two guys that are going to be future head coaches on that staff. They already had Sirianni, and Sirianni's been mocked. Sirianni's done a pretty good job in Philadelphia with what he's had to work with.
Yeah.
He's kind of figuring it out. I think Frank Reich is going to be one of those guys. I'm not saying it's going to be like the Andy Reid type pipeline, but I think he's going to be a guy who develops head coaches.
I think you need to get used to that. He's going to be high on everybody's list.
Yes, he was last year.
Yeah.
It did not seem like he wanted this Texans job, but Matt Eberflus, understudy of Rod Marinelli, you can connect him indirectly to like the Lovie Smith type of mindset. He's going to figure something out. Other thing, and this is the thing that I think we need to be aware of when it comes to the game on Sunday, Texans versus Colts noon right here on Sports Radio 610. The Colts lost that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but Frank Reich took it. Like they started out the episode talking about Frank Reich was talking to his team. And he's like, you're going to tell your kids that you played the best quarterback of all time. What is that story going to sound like? He said that, and then they hit the intro. But at the end, after the loss, Frank Reich was taking that as kind of a lesson. There's like tangible like stepping stones for Frank Reich. And he said, you guys proved that you can go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the league today. You got to finish the job, but you know what, men? We had some good moments in November, but December is where the good teams thrive, and this is where we got to play our best football. That's all that matters. So Texans being the first team to face the Colts in December, I think this is going to be a buzzsaw coming through, and I think that Frank Reich has it pretty well laid out, and they're peaking at the right time.
Look, I said that earlier. I think this could get ugly on Sunday, and that's not exactly going out on a thick limb. Because everybody knows Texans are struggling, Colts are playing pretty good football. But I think the other thing that really is the reason it could get ugly is we still don't know if this illness is going to linger through today. That's the first thing.
The culture illness?
Yeah, and they've already missed one full day of practice, and the Colts are coming off that loss, and they're coming in here playing about as good as you can. I mean, this could be bad. This could be a bad one.
Throwback Thursday at 11 o'clock. Lovie Smith has a historic role in pissing someone off that led to one of the greatest rants of all time. We'll hear that at 11 o'clock. But coming up, Justin Verlander, not an Astro, and baseball is playing with fire. Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Justin Verlander not an Astro yet. This is interesting. John Heyman put this out there, but the Justin Verlander signing that we thought was official has not been announced yet, and he described it as in limbo with MLB locking out. If you missed that, last night became official. There is a lockout in baseball, so basically a pissing match between the owners and the players, which is kind of annoying to me, J-Lo.
And it should be, and I don't think that's really the story, to be honest, when it comes to the lockout. Yes, it's a story in the sense that it hasn't happened in, 16 years or whatever the number is. To me, that it's gonna, look, we all know it's going to get settled. They're both going to say they're happy. Nothing's going to really change. They're going to be playing baseball, if not by spring training, certainly after that, shortly after that, and certainly in the regular season. That's not a story. To me, the story here is that they even came to this point, that they even got here to have a lockout. Because for you and me, we know how it's going to end. For a lot of, you know, harder core baseball fans, we know how it's going to end. But casual baseball fans that have already been kind of out on the game are going to be, oh, great. You know, no, those millionaires are fighting. I'm so done with all this. And there's another aspect to this that would be bothersome if I were baseball. And I think it's just stupid, to be honest, that they did this. Their ratings are just plummeting. And I know people are gonna say, well, their ratings are higher than last year. Last year was a pandemic. They went up 2 points. So yes, technically they're greater than that. They're 13 points lower, the World Series ratings, than 8 years ago. 13 points. And now you're trying to alienate fans in the middle of all that. That's just dumb, man.
I just think the last thing that baseball needs is a pissing match.
Right.
And it's really kind of like one of the key moments of my childhood. I grew up on baseball. I love baseball. But the 1994 stoppage, like, with everything that was going on, that seemed like when baseball was kind of at a peak. Like, it was – baseball was pretty popular in the 90s. The fact that they just stopped the season, there, you know, Paul O'Neill, I think, was going to try to hit 400. Like, there was all kinds of stuff going on, and it just stopped. And I think it kind of taught you at a young age that regardless of how much you love baseball, first of all, it's not always going to be there for you when you need it. And you learned how to kind of live without it. Like, you learned how to live without baseball. Yeah. And with all the problems they have, it's just interesting that this is happening. And this pissing match, like, do they really have to take the players' pictures off of the website and stuff? Like, that just seems like it's like, is that like showing them? Is that supposed to tell something? Because you go to MLB.com, you click on a player, it's just a blank, like the default profile pic. Like, is that necessary? Is that supposed to happen?
This is so dumb. You know, fans are like just collectively rolling their eyes at this and kind of being, you know, kind of being turned off. And then there's another aspect to it. You know, over the last 5, 6, maybe longer years, people are going away from cable television, from standard cable, dish type satellite television, and they're going to the apps. Well, I mean, these cord cutters, you have to pay for MLB Network. You know, I know it's included like on YouTube TV or whatever, but these are all add-ons and stuff. You think you're gonna at the beginning of the year say, I'm gonna add MLB Network, I'm excited. No, this is just stupid in terms of just how the public is going to react.
Mark Berman put out yesterday the Carlos Correa situation. The Astros reportedly, according to Berman, offered a 5-year, $160 million deal last month. He also said that his agent has heard from the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Cubs, and the Braves. So the Astros offered him probably about half of what he would like to get. And all these teams that are lurking after this work stoppage ends, these are the teams that are that will come out of nowhere, swoop in, and give a guy big money. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Dodgers or the Yankees came in and got Carlos Correa. But the Verlander thing is what I want to look at because it hasn't been announced. Limbo is the word that John Heyman used. What if you come back from this work stoppage and all of a sudden Justin Verlander decides to go somewhere else?
I don't think so. I think this is more of a technical thing than anything. The contract couldn't be all the way agreed to. Now, I'm not saying it's a done deal because if it wasn't agreed to, it's not. I think it's just going to happen after the lockout. I think it's going to happen. They just finishing up all the details of whatever he needs done. I saw Heyman's tweet as well. And limbo, is accurate in the sense that it stopped now because they can't have any, contact with players or agents clubs. But I think it's gonna happen. That one doesn't bother me so much as, the Correa thing. I think more teams are gonna be able to step back and look at their things. They're still working among themselves, the MLB teams, and maybe something will happen there that we didn't expect.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Jim Mudd, in for Figgy Fig here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Is Rob Manfred going to like come out and make a statement every other day? Is that what we're going to be dealing with? Because it just doesn't do anything for me. This whole work stoppage thing. And I don't know where you shift your attention to. I will say in this city though, and this is the city that matters, because it is a local show. That life without the Astros seems like hell to me. with what's going on down there on Kirby, and I know the Rockets have won four straight, but they're not really going to be making much noise for you. It's going to be kind of a little bit of a process. Like life without the Astros sounds like absolute hell.
Because it is. I think that's not going to be an issue. It'll get settled. It's very little stuff that they're kind of butting heads on, like the team control, reducing it to 5 years, that'll get worked out. They need to worry more about just they're losing fans, and this does not help.
I don't think it's going to happen here, though. And that's the other thing about it. I don't know what baseball. I think regionally, the Astros are not going to lose fans. The Astros are going to be popping.
No, we've been in a bubble.
Yeah, we're in a bubble. We live in our own bubble here.
Yeah,
you talk about Stepford Wives and the Texans being in their own world.
The charts.
We're in our own world here.
Yeah,
but as far as like baseball as a whole, it is just kind of just one of those things you kind of roll your eyes at.
But be careful because it could happen here if they ever slide back, just like it has everywhere else. I don't see where Houston fans would be any different than Major League fans at large.
Yeah, it will be interesting to hear what happens with Carlos Correa again, according to Berman, and if Berman says it, I believe it. Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Cubs, and Braves.
I still think
all in the mix.
I still think Correa is sitting back, watching all these reports, reading all these reports, and just laughing. I think he knows exactly where he's going, and the deal is just about done. Just a matter of finishing it. I saw the one with the Braves and the Astros and all that stuff, and I'm like, I think it's one of those teams, but I think it's just about done. He's just waiting to get it finalized.
Got to get the stoppage over with first before you do that. So Justin Verlander, not so fast. We'll find out what happens there, but baseball making a big mistake per the OG John Lopez. Coming up, the nightmare in the second round, maybe one of the deepest rounds in recent NFL history. It's going to be on display from the Indianapolis Colts. It's also going to be on display in maybe a not-so-good way with the Texans. We'll get into it, take you inside the Colts war room, and we'll hear from Jack Easterby after that round was concluded next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
The nightmare of the second round of 2020. It might linger for a long, long time. It's definitely going to be on display on Sunday when the Texans take on the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts had three picks, ended up having three selections in around that area. They had one at the beginning in which they took Michael Pittman, one of the best young receivers in the NFL. Then, after the Texans passed on Jonathan Taylor, who said he grew up a Texans fan, Arian Foster was his favorite running back, they selected Michael Pittman. We're going to be feeling that one for a long, long time. And I think we're probably going to feel it a little bit on Sunday. And on the other side of things, the Texans, with Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien, and we'll hear from Jack Easterby on that selection. If he wants to put his hands up and say it was all Bill, we'll hear him in his own words during this study. But the second round there, and you look at guys like Chase Claypool in Pittsburgh. You look at A.J. Dillon in Green Bay. You look at some of the guys. Trevon Diggs leading the NFL in interceptions. You look at Antoine Winfield, who's been a big part of Tampa Bay and what they've done. This was one of the deeper second rounds that I can remember in an NFL draft. And the Texans look like, could change, looks like they completely whiffed with Ross Blacklock, not only because of what he's been unable to do when he's gotten his opportunities, but because of all the guys that they passed on and all the guys that they did not bring into the building.
Well, let's look at the players. You mentioned some, and we've talked about this over the course of the last few weeks. But let's go through all the picks in the second round after, not all, but the picks immediately after Jonathan Taylor.
And Julian Blackman was a third-round pick for the Colts, and he was a hell of a player.
I'm going to go just the second round.
Just the second round.
Let's look at the, let's say 12 picks, 15. I'll go as far as until you stop me.
Okay.
So Ross Blacklock goes number 40.
Yes, he does.
These are the picks that follow.
Okay.
Laviska Shenault.
Okay.
Cole Kmet.
Uh-huh.
Grant Delpit. Okay.
Well, he got hurt, so you can't really judge him. You missed Jonathan Taylor, too.
I thought I said Jonathan Taylor.
No, you skipped
Ross
him.
Blacklock, then Jonathan Taylor, Laviska Shenault, Cole Kmet, Grant Delpit, as you mentioned, hurt. Antoine Winfield Jr.
Well, I mean, just has brought toughness, brought an element to Tampa Bay that it can't be taught. By the way, a local guy, too.
Yes, absolutely.
And the other thing about it is you needed a running back.
Mm-hmm.
many people, or at least one guy, was banging on the table for a running back. You needed a safety, and you just traded DeAndre Hopkins, so you could have used some receivers.
Yeah. KJ Hamler, which, okay, not superstar, but he's productive. He's been productive and had some catches. Marlon Davison, okay. Daryl Taylor, and okay, not exactly the best. Chase Claypool.
Yeah, he's doing all right in Pittsburgh. He's playing with the ghost of the bathroom Casanova.
Trevon Diggs. Cam Akers. Jalen Hurts. AJ Epinesa. J.K. Dobbins. Dude.
Yes.
Come
and you
on.
Got Ross Blacklock. I'm telling you, this
is
going
to... I mean, you could have thrown a dart at the next 12, 15 picks.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where you're at.
That's where you're at.
Let's go behind the walls in Indianapolis and just go through the mindset, because we're going to get the mindset of both of the decision makers. We're going to hear from Chris Ballard mm-hmm. and his staff, and we're going to hear from Jack Easterby, who, now that Bill O'Brien's gone, he wants to put his hands up and say...
That wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
Yeah.
It was Bill.
Yeah.
Bro. You were the first voice at Deshaun's press conference. You were right there hand in hand with Bill O'Brien during the draft. We'll hear what he had to say about that. But let's just start with Chris Ballard. This is from the Indianapolis Colts. This is his message before the draft and what he was looking for. This is the GM of the Colts minutes before, or I guess 24 hours before, he would have one of the best rounds, one of the best draft days in recent NFL history.
Hey, before we get started, this is a historic freaking moment for the league. Dude, you're going to look back 20 years from now, and this will be one of the coolest things we've done. It really will be. It's probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing that's going to happen, and, you know, we're a part of it. To be a part of a virtual draft like this, it's historic for us. So enjoy the moment. Enjoy this week. Enjoy this 3 days. Have fun. Don't, you know me, if you got something to say, say it. Don't sit there muted and then regret that you didn't speak up. Say what you got to say. This is no different than being in the draft room. Let your voice be heard when it needs to be heard. All right? Let's have a great 3 days. We're going to do good. We're going to make the Colts better and push us over the top with this 3 days.
Well, I mean, that was before day one. Day two is when the fun started. And the crazy thing about this is when they selected Michael Pittman with their first selection in round two, they were actually having a dialogue about Pittman or Taylor. So Jonathan Taylor, they liked him. They ended up going with Michael Pittman. Here is the dialogue before they selected Pittman about which guy they wanted to bring onto their team and their offense.
Who adds more of an explosive element to our offense, Taylor or Pittman?
Let me ask Frank this real quick. In your mind, which one makes us better heading forward if they both reach their ceiling? Like, who are you more excited to have on the team?
There's no black and white answer on this. Part of this is because, you know, you're saying, man, just imagine this guy behind our offensive line. Both of them are going to add explosive. Both of them are going to make us more explosive.
Oh, man. I mean, who would have thought that they had to pick one and they thought they would lose the other?
So they made the decision. They decided to go with Michael Pittman. This is what it sounded like when Frank Wright, Chris Ballard, made their first move of two in one of the most significant rounds in recent NFL history.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every time I watch him, I like him better. He's big. He's a build-up speed guy. He can finish on the deep ball. He wins 50-50 battles.
He's got excellent feet for a man of his size. You know, when he plays above the rim, he's got the set of speed, and he's got all the things we're looking for. This guy's a dude.
Decker, you like the character, right?
Yeah, I think he's intelligent. I think he's high character. I think he's shown some grit over time. You know, he's had to compete for and win his job multiple times.
So Pittman's got enough speed and separation. He plays faster.
He's big. He's Vincent Jackson-like.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. If you remember Vincent Jackson from the Chargers.
How you doing, man? Hey, we're going to pick you here, man. You excited to become an Indy?
Yes, sir.
We've been kind of eyeballing you here for the last, you know, few months, and can't be more excited to have you coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so they're excited. They're already satisfied.
Well,
they
tough
got
luck
Michael
on
Pittman.
Jonathan Taylor then, I guess.
They got Michael Pittman. They're excited. Everything is great. But then all of a sudden,
what?
Jonathan Taylor starts to fall. Houston Texans decide to go with Ross Blacklock, and that's when it gets real. And that's when it goes from getting a receiver that you hope can develop into, you know, one of those top guys in the league, mm-hmm. to getting a running back who – in a short time, a year and a half, would be an MVP discussion. This is what that development sounded like.
If you put this guy in our rushing attack, oh boy.
When you project this guy behind our line and in our scheme, holy
this guy ran for 2,000 yards against people that they know what's going to happen. They know they're giving this guy the ball.
You could feel his speed on our turn.
And he's 220 plus pounds and can take the pounding. And the character's great. It's just kind of like, we might be like, why didn't we pick this guy? He's Captain America.
What do y'all think?
Well, you do a hell of a thing by getting these two guys. I mean, really, it's...
We decided to, you know, give up the fifth and move up with Cleveland.
All right. So they're talking about Captain America. They're talking about you can't let this guy pass. He falls into their lap. Texans take Ross Blacklock, and then Indianapolis. They make it official. They add to the mix with Michael Pittman. They add Jonathan Taylor.
Call him, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't pass up Taylor. I mean, you've been talking about him, Chris.
Yeah, call him and let's see if we can see if he'll do it. We're good with Cleveland if their guy's not there and our guy's still there.
Houston's pick is in. Cleveland is on the clock.
Excellent.
We'll do it.
Hey, we're good.
We'll call it in too. Bloom, call the trade in.
Calling in now.
Awesome. Taylor and Pittman.
Get him on the phone, please.
Yeah. Let's go.
I know. Take it to the house, Taylor.
Offensive firepower. Serious right now.
Jim Irsay just smoking a blunt, chilling, enjoying it.
Running commentary when they took Blacklock. Awesome.
He's eating milk duds and popcorn.
Excellent.
Smoking a doobie.
Cold chili.
This really is, like, when we look back at this, and the Carson Wentz thing, I think it's TBD, but I think the Colts are showing signs of a team that can make a deep playoff run. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. They've been up double digits every game since week four. And I know they haven't finished that. They got to put that together. You also got to keep in mind, though, Carson Wentz did not have training camp. Carson Wentz was hurt, so he's kind of figuring his way out. And they're trying to – they're one of those teams that could peak in December without this draft, without this second round. And the Texans – they trade first-round picks. They trade second-round picks. Hell, they traded a second-rounder for Brandon Cooks. They could have had two picks, yep, in this second round as well. The Texans, with this second round, with having guys in team control for cheap for 4 years, the Texans are dealing with Ross Blacklock. And we know what Ross Blacklock has been like. Ross Blacklock has made history, though. He is the one guy who I think has made Mark Vandermeer the most pissed off during a broadcast in the history of this organization. I've heard Mark Vandermeer pissed off. I've had Mark Vandermeer pissed off at me on the radio.
Unless you know him, it's hard to pick up when he's mad. He'll just say certain things. But this one was no doubt.
He's very passive-aggressive.
This one was no doubt.
Very passive-aggressive.
Like, he'll just say, why are they doing that, Dre?
But this one, there was no secrets here. Ross Blacklock, while Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman and other guys in that second round are making plays, Ross Blacklock is making plays, but they're boneheaded plays, and they're pissing off the great Mark Vandermeer.
Snap is down. Amendola's kick is up, and it's through. And there's a flag down, and it could be against the Texans, and it could be trouble. And, boy, if they screwed up on the line here, Johnny's telling us he thought a Texan, yep, and there's Blakeman looking to the sideline. He thought a Texan was jumping up leaping over the line, which is just unforgivable right now. Did all the work to force the field goal.
Going to give him a first down. It's indeed
leaping.
That's
how you lose a game.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, defense number 90 for leverage. Penalty's half the distance to the goal line.
Yeah.
First down.
How can you do that? You're trying to make a play with a block. We get it. But now it's not playtime here. This is real. And you just gave up a first down after all the work you did to force the field goal when the Jets are motoring down the field.
That second round's going to hurt, man.
It is.
It already is, but it's going to get worse, I think, as time goes on.
Especially if they stumble into a Wentz making, a new life, reigniting his career, which it seems like he has, or bring in another quarterback.
I think that's already established, those guys. But I think guys like Claypool, once Pittsburgh gets a quarterback in there who's not on his last leg, Chenault, once they figure out what they want to do offensively, I think there's just going to be other guys in this second round that the arrow is pointing up. And I can't say the same about Ross Blacklock. Ross Blacklock's most memorable moments here, you have those boneheaded penalties, and then you have J.J. Watt. Remember when Blacklock got ejected last year, J.J. Watt?
Also out of character, just like Vandermeer. Specifically naming a guy.
Ross Blacklock has pissed off Mark Vandermeer, and he has pissed off the GOAT of the Houston Texans, J.J. Watt.
Stupid. Selfish. It was a stupid play. It was selfish. I've spoken to Ross before, and so it pisses me off. I mean, it's a very selfish move late in the game. It's dumb. Very dumb to hurt your team in that type of setting for no reason.
All right. So,
talk about it, out of character.
Just very out of character. And Ross Blacklock's going to be connected to that second round. But the question emerges as we go through the nightmare of the second round in 2020 that's going to be on display on Sunday. Who do you blame? Because we know that it's easy now to say, Bill O'Brien, that guy's an idiot. And I do think that Bill O'Brien always had a hand in things. And I think even when Brian Gain was trying to be the GM, I think Bill O'Brien had enough of a role and enough of Cal's respect to where he could impact it, and maybe he could even throw a hissy fit and get his way. But he was not alone when it came to the worst offseason in the history of this organization, the 2020 offseason, and this second round and the free agency that was one of the worst free agent periods that I've ever seen, with Randall Cobb, Eric Murray, the Kiami Fairbairn, the Whitney Merciless extension. He was not alone.
Yeah.
And I know that they would like to rewrite history there, but unfortunately for them, before there were guys basically hiding in basements and not really saying anything, Jack Easterby commented on the Ross Blacklock selection. So here is what Jack Easterby said. And tell me, a lot of times guys are going to go up there and fall on the sword, but tell me this sounds like a guy who didn't have a hand in drafting Ross Blacklock, please.
He came in, he did a workout for us, had a great attitude, had great energy. He spent time with Coach and I, and just had a great love for the game. And, I would say Ross is somebody that, can come and play right away and earn his way, as all rookies do. But, I was really excited when we saw Ross. The whole building really jumped in all the different virtual sites we were in. A lot of versatility, dependable, tough, smart, as we always say. The whole staff was excited, a lot of unity and text messages and Zoom calls.
That's not just a guy sitting there saying, I like this draft pick. That's a guy going in depth talking about spending time. And you talked to some people there. He was very pleased with this Ross Blacklock thing. He was getting out in front of it and making it known that he had something to do with it. And now all of a sudden, now that O'Brien's there, it's like, no. No, not me.
Right.
Second round, man. Second round.
Let's also remember this, if you're talking about the influence that Easterby had with Blacklock and that entire day. Keep in mind, I believe it was the next round, the third round.
Yeah, Grenard.
The trade.
Yeah.
Grenard ends up being one of the best picks in that draft for the Texans. They didn't want him.
Yeah, and
they didn't want
him. I guess O'Brien said, that's your pick, Jack, or something.
That's what I was going to say. That's exactly, because we saw him on the Zoom. Of course, this is in the midst of so many people not being able to have in-person meetings. And he muttered the words, that's your pick, Jack.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking. It wasn't an expression back to you, Jack. It was actually the name, Jack. Yeah. That's your pick, Jack, when he was so upset. So there's your other evidence of it. And also the Lions general manager, was there just a breakdown from the communication between Easterby and O'Brien and the Lions, because the Bill O'Brien said they were messing around on the Zoom, refused to acknowledge this whole trade discussion stuff.
Yeah.
But the Lions GM said, yeah, we talked to him, but there was no deal in place.
Yeah. These guys were just way in over their head.
It's a circus.
Way in over their head. Unfortunately, the impact's still there. And unfortunately, on Sunday, you're going to get a taste of the disaster of the 2020 second round. Coming up, Throwback Thursday. It was one of the most epic rants of all time. The Texans defensive coordinator, Lovie Smith. His role in historically pissing someone off. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.